seats so you can't remain standing, but let's stand together. We're going to open up with the Solid Rock. Has anybody seen Kevin?
my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
Jesus, You are our confidence and our solid rock. Your sacrifice is our hope. Your life is our salvation. The assurance You give, Lord, makes us free. Who the Son shall set free will be free indeed. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from the curse of the law. We worship You because You have arrested death and set us free.
My sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given anew. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, she's over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with You. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom You only as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, we're free, free, forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Father, we just want to pray for our pastor this morning. Father, we just, Lord, just pour your spirit out on him this morning as he's coming to break bread with us. And Father, we want to be in the right frame of mind. Father, just open our hearts and prepare us for the message you have for us. Lord, we just pray that you forgive us when we failed you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to be in your house this morning, Lord. Father, we just thank you that we can be able to come and we can sing and we can pour out our worship to you, Lord. Father, I just pray now that you'll just be with the offering, be with the gift and the giver this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you'll just be with Pastor this morning as he brings forth the message. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
This was the beginning of the end. But every fragile step he grew more and more determined to finish it. The world saw a man with a tree on his back, and they laughed. God saw his son, whom he loved, carry more than that. Oh, he didn't just carry a cross, he carried me. Just count the cost. He can.
To get us going this morning. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and I do have an announcement to make. Last night, I was able to have dinner with Brendan and Shelby, and there they are. And they would like to have a meeting with all of the new youth, with all of the parents of the youth group. And so we're inviting the families that have youth group children to a lunch right after church on February 17th. It's going to be a potluck style lunch. It will be 1 hour long, okay? They promised 1 hour. Promise, okay? And they just want to get to know you parents and let you get to know them and just kind of let you know where they're hoping to take things and make some plans. So February 17th, make sure you write that down. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue on looking at being salty. It was good to have a new member of the team up here this morning. Did everybody see the cello up there with Nate Thompson? Good job, Nate. It's good to have you join the team up there. Nate's being salty. He's putting his gift of playing the cello to work for the Lord, so that's good to see. Well, there was a husband and a wife They had identical twins very early on in their marriage. And they were very poor. And they decided that in order to give the boys the best opportunities in life, they put them both up for international adoption. One of them went to a family in Egypt and was named Amal. The other went to a family in Spain and they named him Juan. Years later, Juan found his birth mother and sent a picture to her. And upon receiving the picture, she told her husband, she said, "Oh, I wish that I could also have a picture of Amal." And the husband responded, "They're identical twins. If you've seen one, you've seen them all." Well, this morning, you are the few and the proud. You made it out to church in the storm this morning. And for some of you, you are batting 1,000 still. How about a big hand for that? In Michigan in the winter, some of you, you might be hitting 750. That's really good. I mean, 750 is good. 500, Hall of Fame. 250. Oh, well, you're a starter in the league at 250. Did you know that? You hit 250, you're a starter in the league. So you're a starter in our books. It's just really good to have you out here with us this morning. And since it was so difficult to get in here, I hope that you are blessed that you are here. And I've been blessed this morning. I mean, we got done with those three songs this morning, and woo, praise the Lord. And then to reflect on the thought that he carried the cross for me. Boy, what an awesome thought. So everything from here on out is just dessert, okay? The rest of this is just dessert. This is the sweet stuff this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is our theme verse for the year. This is the thought that I hope is just penetrating your heart. And if you're involved in a small group, I hope you are just chewing on this. Tommy, how was your small group on Thursday night? Good. All right. If you want to join a small group, Thursday nights, Tommy's got one going at his house. And Nate told me that his went well tonight from 3 to 4, right, Nate? All right. And at our house, we had a great time tonight from 4 to 5:30. There's one that met here at the church. Boy, that one was good, too. Caleb led the one at Cole's house. Caleb, how'd it go? Fantastic. All right. Carl already talked about the one at Trisha's house. I'm missing one. Who am I missing? The one here at the church. Donnie, how did that go?
Good.
All right. So if you're dropping your kids off for youth group, great time to just stay here for an hour and a half and get into God's word and build some relationships with other people. So get into a small group because that's where some depth is going to take place. Matthew 5, verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Lord God, bless the reading of your word and bless the expounding of it now. I pray that it would be sweet to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Salt operates internally. Sunlight operates externally. It irradiates whatever it comes in contact with. The difference between the way that salt and light operates is one of process. Salt works internally and affects the core of what it comes in contact with. It helps slow and even kill harmful growth. And we talked about that last week. Light shows what is right and what is wrong. Light shows a way, and we are both salt and light. So the first thing that Jesus told us here in this passage is he said, you are the salt. We've already talked about that. So now let's concentrate on light. So number one in your bulletin, as he deals with light, Jesus said, you are light. He doesn't say, try to be light. He says, you are light. Now, I'm going to go old-fashioned on you here. In the King James, he says, ye. And how many of you, when you read that, you're like, oh my goodness, ye and thee, thou. And it's like really confusing, right? Well, let me tell you what is helpful about that. In the Greek, if it's Y, it's plural. If it's T, it's singular. Ye, you, plural. Thee, thou, singular. So if he says to somebody, thou, Jesus was talking to that person. It's the interpretation of it should be directly for that person. When he says ye or you, that's for everybody. Okay? So he says here, verse 13, ye. What does that mean? All of you who are saved, you are the salt of the earth. And then he says in verse 14, ye are the light. What does that mean? All of you who are saved, you are light. And just like salt, we don't attempt to be light. We are light. That's in our nature after we are saved. So how does that work? How do you become a light? This is not in your bulletin, but I'd like you to write this in. Okay? Our life reflects the light of Jesus. Our life reflects the light of Jesus. That's how we are light. All right, the moon at night. You go outside and you see the moon. And on a clear night, sometimes the moon can light your way. But then, oh, the moon is not a light-producing sphere. The moon is actually reflecting the light of the sun. And you know what we do? We reflect the light of Jesus. We are not the source of the light. We are merely the reflector of the light. And so when Jesus says, you are light, he's letting us know that all of us, we are reflecting his light. So how does this process happen? This is really neat. I put a whole bunch of verses up there. You see them on the screen, okay? I'm going to read through them. And just as I read them, I just want you to just think through this. It's a progression that takes place. Light started with Jesus. It is given to us. Now we reflect his light. So in John 1:9, Jesus is the true light which lights all men that come into the world. In John 8:12, Jesus spoke again to them saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in John 9:5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So let's stop for a second. As long as Jesus is in the world, he is the light of the world. Jesus is not physically in the world today, right? He ascended to heaven. We're waiting for his return. So as long as he was in the world, he is the light of the world. But since he's not here now, he's left us. We are the light of the world. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. So whoever believes in Jesus, we don't remain in darkness. We don't stay in darkness. Our state of being and our place of living is not in darkness anymore. We are now in light. because we have believed in him. Romans 13, 2. Now, all those verses in John, Jesus was in the world. He's the light of the world. Now, in Romans, Jesus has left, and they're anticipating his return. So now as we read about it, we have to have an understanding that all of this is written, Jesus has left. So as Paul writes this in Romans 13, 2, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Romans 13, 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We reflect the light of Jesus. Now, we don't wear armor today. Some of you wear Under Armour. You know, that's good. But we don't really wear armor today because we have other means of you know, the soldiers that walk about don't wear, they're not concerned with swords and you know, spears and stuff. You have to wear bulletproof material now, okay? Totally different kind of life that we live than they lived. The point is, put on yourself in your manner of living what you can to continue to reflect the light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is God's command to us today. We shine the light for Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. And actually, in the King James there, it says, and Christ shall give the light. So, we are all light who believe in Jesus, but now this is really specific. You who have become awake out of the darkness of your sin, you who have been sleeping, slumbering through life without Christ in your life, when he wakes you up, he puts in you individually his light. Now, shine that light. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. We just sang a song about that, didn't we? And death was arrested, and my life began. He abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You who are saved are immortal. Now, don't go stand in front of a train, because then your immortality will just be in heaven, no longer on earth, okay? You are immortal because your soul now will never taste death. See, here's what happens. When we live in this world apart from Jesus Christ, we are considered by Scripture in darkness. When we are apart from Jesus Christ, we are called lost. And it's worse than a TV show that has 12 seasons that never goes anywhere. I've never seen it. I've just heard about it. But you are lost. Because you're searching, but you're not complete. So when Jesus comes, he illuminates your darkness. He puts his light inside of you. And you are no longer lost, you are now his. You are no longer an alien. We actually, one of the songs we sang this morning talked about, we're not an orphan anymore. He has called me by name. I am brought into his family, named under his name. I am Christian. Not because of me, but because of him. And so he brings us immortality where we will never be separated from him. You know, those who die in their sin, in their darkness, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, their mortality immediately becomes evident because Jesus described it this way. He said, and immediately his eyes were open and he was in flames of torments. Jesus said that if we have not come to faith and do not obey his gospel, that there is everlasting punishment. But to those who are saved, we don't even worry about that. Because we have been given immortality through the light of the gospel. So now our job is to take the light of the gospel and share that so others can receive the immortality that comes through the light of the gospel. So then the second thing Jesus talks about in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, since he started it by saying, you all are the light of the world, there's a sense of together. So together, we make up a city. When we've driven to Colorado in the past to go out skiing, all right, usually about the time we get to Des Moines, Iowa, all right, by then it's just been a drag of a drive. And Iowa is just flat and boring to drive through. Has anybody ever driven through Iowa? Ugh. Dread that part of it. Yes, and then you get to Nebraska. But usually, right as we're getting to Iowa, it seems like it's always dark. And now you have street signs that tell you, you know, you're getting close to the city. It's usually about then that we have to fill up with gas and, you know, take the potty break and all those little things. And there is no doubt when we're approaching the city at night. The city cannot hide. It's all lit up. And it's a beautiful thing to see the light of the city. Because all of a sudden, there's hope. The person who's been in the back seat squirming, I gotta go potty! They get to go potty, right? We get to gas the car up, and now we don't fear being stuck on the side of the road with no gas. And somebody always wants a snack of some sort, and we can pull them out, and we can have a snack because the city brings hope. Now, especially during Jesus' day, Rachel and I had the privilege of going to Israel a few years ago, and we went to Bethlehem during the day. I just can't even imagine about going to Bethlehem at night because there is nothing. And then all of a sudden, up on top of this hill, there is this, because we always think like the shepherds were up on a hill and this Bethlehem, the city, was down in a valley. Opposite. Totally the opposite. And so at night, to see Bethlehem, you cannot miss it. Because it's surrounded by nothingness, darkness. And then there's just this city right there. Okay, together, we are a city on a hill. And you cannot hide a city on a hill. 12th Street, we are shining no matter what, because we are that city. Together, we make up that city. But now individually, as we go out into life, he says that we're set in this world to shine. That's why we're here. Otherwise, why doesn't he just take us to heaven after we get saved, right? He puts his light in us and, woo, yeah, I'm in heaven. Okay, there'd be nobody else to illuminate the world. He leaves us here so that we are set in this world to shine. So don't hide your light. He says, don't put it under a bushel. So there's a little song, right? If you know it, sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it. Where's your light? Come on, show me your light. light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You spot when you hide it under a bushel. No! Right? I mean, come on. This is what Jesus is telling us. You cannot hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel.
No!
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No!
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now, we come from a lot of different places. So, I'm gonna give a name of a city. We're not gonna repeat it every time. But I'm gonna give you a name of a city. Like, shine it all over Paw Paw. I'm gonna let it. So everybody that lives in Paw Paw, all right, say it with me. Here we go. Shine it all over Paw Paw. I'm gonna let it shine. Now Vicksburg, shine it all over Vicksburg. I'm gonna let it shine. I know I'm switching keys. It doesn't matter. Here we go. Plainwell, shine it all over Plainwell. I'm gonna let it shine. Otsego. Shine it all over Otsego. I'm gonna let it shine. Schoolcraft. Shine it all over Schoolcraft. I'm gonna let it shine. How about Three Rivers? Shine it all over Three Rivers. I'm gonna let it shine. How about Comstock? Shine it all over Comstock. I'm gonna let it shine. Kalamazoo, shine it all over Kalamazoo. I'm gonna let it shine. Portage, shine it all over Portage. I'm gonna let it shine. Mattawan, shine it all over Mattawan. I'm gonna let it shine. Lawton, shine it all over Lawton. Come on, Joel. I mean, do we get it? This is our job. This is what we do. We shine. We are light. That's what we're here for. You are the light of the world. Don't hide it. I guarantee you, people you work with, you know what they like to do. You know the sins they like to commit, especially you guys. You know where your guys, the work that you work with, you know the places they like to frequent. The habits they like to practice. You know their exploits. Now, do they know your light? Do they know your light? Or are you hiding it under a bushel?
No.
Paul's got it. There we go. So the third thing that Jesus tells us is let your light shine. Just let it shine. Three ways, three things happen when we let it shine. It's before men. This isn't, well, I'm a secret light for Jesus. Yeah, don't you like it when there's a secret headlight on a car at night? Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Or the other morning, during a snow blizzard, Rachel's on her way to work, and there's a semi, and he doesn't have his lights on. Okay? Yeah, it got close to being ugly. Good thing she's got good angels. Let your light shine before men. You are light. Let it shine. And if you're ashamed of it, maybe you're not really a light. If you're ashamed of it, maybe you aren't what you think you are. Because we shouldn't hide it under a bushel. And why do we let it shine? So that they may see your good works. I was refereeing a basketball game when I was in college. It was a varsity basketball game. And every time I went by the home bleachers, I would hear this chant, la, 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 and I could not understand what they were saying. Every time I went by, blah, blah, blah. And so at halftime, I'm talking with the guy I was roughing with, and I'm like, what are they saying? And he started laughing. He goes, they're saying, zip your fly. Oh, man! That was embarrassing. All right. I looked at him, I'm like, why didn't you tell me? He goes, I don't know. I thought you'd be embarrassed to zip it up in front of everybody. Thanks. Twelfth Street. Let your light shine. Let your light be seen by everybody. Because they need to see your good works. They need to see it. When we're enlightened to something, it allows us to fix it. Like when our zipper's down, right? So we need to be enlightened. And when we shine the light of our good works, others see it and let her see, so they may glorify your Father in heaven. That's awesome. We can shine our light by doing the good works that God wants us to do, so then others will glorify our Father is in heaven. That is the goal of being salty, right there. So that others can see our Father in heaven. So if I want to be salty, I have to let my light shine. And if I don't let my light shine, then others can't see the good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. Here's the sad thing. You can't make someone get saved, right? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if we could? Like if there was some like special Bible you smacked them over the head with. And like, poof, the power of God is in you. It doesn't happen that way. And since we can't force salvation on someone, and it may be even very difficult to convince someone to listen to the gospel, we need to understand that there is something we can do even though we can't force them. People who don't know the gospel are like a thirsty horse that doesn't know it's thirsty. Okay, I did some reading on, have you ever heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? And I've heard that, and I'm like, there's got to be a way you can make them drink. So I stole this, and the source, they never put their name on it. So it was an equine help desk, okay? So that's the source. Let me read it to you. Horses don't get thirsty in the same way that humans do. A sweating horse loses more electrolytes per part than a human does, and that, plus a fluid reserve in their gastrointestinal system, keeps the horse happy well after the rider would be downing Gatorade. But when that reserve runs out, a horse can find himself dehydrated and possibly display colic symptoms. It says systems, but it should say symptoms. Very quickly. Unfortunately, when a horse feels sick, he really doesn't want to drink anything. That means that getting a horse to drink is a proactive solution, not a reactive solution. Your best weapon against dehydration is... Oh, a couple of you got it. The best weapon against dehydration is...
Salt!
It's simple. Salt makes you thirsty. Free choice salt is always a must for horses. But if you have a horse that isn't into the salt brick, top dress their feed with granulated salt. It's also a good idea to add salt to feed when your horse is traveling so that they'll drink. Do you see the parallel here between someone who doesn't know Christ and a thirsty horse that doesn't want to drink? You know what the key is? Salt. The key is salt. People need to see our good works. Shine the light with our good works. Our good works will make them thirsty for spiritual things. When we are salty, we will create a thirst in those who don't know Christ because they will want what we have, and that is the living water. Real quickly, in John chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this. Jesus, he's on his way. He's traveling with his disciples, and he's like, I got to go through Samaria. And the disciples are like, we don't want to go through Samaria. We don't like Samaria. But Jesus is like, I must do this. They all go to buy meat. He sits down at a well that was dug by Jacob. And Jacob, his name is changed to Israel later on. So this is like a really important well. And he sits down, and a woman comes by. And Jesus says, can you get me a drink of water? And here's what she says in verse 9. Then says the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asks of a drink of me, who is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And she looks at him and she goes, you think you're better than the man who dug this well? Because his name's Jacob. And he's important. And you're saying your water that you have is better than this well? So Jesus responds in verse 13. It's really cool. Jesus answered, said unto her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Here's what Jesus did. He gives us an example of being salty. It's behavior that leads another person to drink from the living water. Another way to say it, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We can be salty by compelling other people to glorify our Father in heaven. Your good works do this. The manner in which you live is the best way to cause others to come to the Lord. Your good works shine the light on what makes you different from the world. This is meant to be attractive to the lost world, and when they see how we live, they should long to be like us. Tell you what, yesterday we had some salty people. Cheryl Campbell and Ed Campbell, they were salty yesterday, okay? They were cooking up a bunch of food and serving it and serving it and serving it all in the name of Jesus. And then when kids came up and didn't have enough money, they just said, we love you and let them take it. Because they were displaying the love of Jesus. And they're salty. Don DeReicher goes out there and just starts shoveling. And people come to me and go, is that old man going to be okay? I'm afraid he's going to fall over dead. It's cold and it's snowy. And you know what Don does? He shovels the sidewalk to make sure that people get in and they don't slip and fall. And he does it all day long. And why does he do it? Because he's just salty. No, he's salty, Brenda. He's just salty. And people want to know what makes him different. Why does he do that? Joel Ritzma yesterday, he preached Jesus 9 times. 9 times. And Mike Kaler preached Jesus 1 time. And they were both salty. Okay? Because when they shared what they did, other people looked around and said, I want what they have. They see the good works and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. One of the best illustrations that I have ever experienced in my life comes from a person in this church about being salty. Scott Randolph, before he had his leg amputated, had one of his caregivers at the hospital, at the VA, steal over $800 from him. They got hold of his debit card and his PIN, and they stole the money. The person got found out. They convicted him. He was guilty, and it was time for sentencing. So I drove Scott to the courthouse. Scott wanted to be there for the sentencing. He wanted to make his victim impact statement. So the man who stole the money is standing there, and Scott is wheeled to the front, and Scott is looking, well, looking at, his face is in his direction. And Scott says, I want you to understand something. what you did is wrong. It's called sin. But I also want you to know something else. Jesus died for your sin. And I want you to understand the forgiveness of God. And I want you to understand how the gift of God works. So I'm asking the judge to not give you any jail time. I'm asking for you to be set free so you can understand what Jesus has done for you. He set you free. The judge was crying. There are a whole bunch of probation officers there sitting for other cases that were being heard. And I look over at them and they're all teary-eyed, like trying not to be seen. One of them came up to me afterward and said, I have never seen anything like that in court. Never in my life have I seen it at a sentencing. And they said, there isn't a person there now that doesn't understand the love of Jesus. The judge looked at the guilty party and says, I'm going to honor his request. And I hope that you listen to the reason why he's setting you free. That's being salty. And you know what, 12th Street? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We should be impacting people internally. And there should be a real change that takes place in them because we are killing the evil of this world through our saltiness. And we are the light of this world. We are shining down on people the greatness of our Savior, the greatness of our Lord, and the change that he has made in us. And they should want it so that they can also glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for telling us that we are salty, or we are salt and we are light. Now, Lord, I pray that we would let our light shine and we would impact this world with our saltiness. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in you as Lord and Savior, I pray that right now in this moment, they would call out to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you rose again from the grave 3 days later, just like you promised you would. And I believe that right now you are alive and that you are waiting in heaven to come back and to claim us as your own people. Lord, I believe in what your word says, and I trust it. And this morning, if you confess the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the scriptures tell us that you will be saved. Lord, I pray for those this morning who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And they know all about the people they work with. They know all about the things that they do. And Lord, they haven't even shared Jesus with their workmates yet. They haven't even let others know about their light. They've been putting it under a bushel. Oh God, forgive us. I pray that we would leave this morning motivated, knowing we are light. So we've got to let it shine. And Lord, what you do with that light is you let others see those good works. And they come to you. As we sing this song, Lord, about taking a stand, I pray that we in our hearts and minds would be settled to take a stand with and for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'll be standing up front. I would love to talk to you about it. I invite you to come and talk to me. If you have trusted Christ and God has spoken to your heart, you just do whatever he wants you to do this morning. And let's stand as we sing this song.
You stood before my failure.
completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. What could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms. Is yours. So what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely.
Lord, we do that. We do offer our hearts completely to you. We say right now, as a city that is set on a hill, that we will stand with our arms high, our light shining bright, our heart abandoned to whatever we hold true to ourselves, and say, God, we will hold true to you. We will let your light shine through us so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. To you, Lord, to the light of this world, be glory and honor, because you have come into the darkness and invaded it with your truth and has shined the light of the gospel in our hearts so that we are now immortal beings for you. To our Lord Jesus Christ be all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before you leave, I do have a couple. We have a business meeting that will start in 3 minutes. And for all the young adults, they're young adult 17 through 28, all right? There is a Super Bowl party at the Dieter's house on next Sunday at 5:30. So I'd like to invite you guys out to that. Lord bless you. 3 minutes, we'll start our business meeting. Thank you. start our meeting soon here in just a couple seconds. I'd rather just sit and worship the Lord for a little bit, but we can do that through business too, though. So, I'd like to call our meeting to order. And the deacons have been talking about how to best use the gift for Christ. The gift for Christ came out to be $25,196.02. So, praise God for that. So, as you look through, like, the January statement, that it's in the giving there, the way that QuickBooks does things, there, we would like to not have it in our general budget showing. So, if you subtract the $25,000, we still brought in $31,000 more than we spent last month. So that's a good month. That's a good thing. Okay? Just a couple things. Our checking account balance at the end of December was $132,654.90. And we still have $82,009 in the assistant pastor fund, which hopefully we don't have to use, okay? And then we can start using that for the glory of God. So Ray has some things from the deacons to talk to us about, and then I'll make a quick presentation, and hopefully we're out of here, and I'll be out of here in 7 minutes. I don't know about you.
Seven and a half. Well, a good praise... let's start it out on a good note, and it's always good. But Ronnie Chapman was able to reach the $5,000 that he needed to go to the clinic to get his help. So Tuesday, it will be personally delivered. The check will be personally delivered to Ronnie. That's about $3,000 from you guys. That's about $1,000 from the benevolence. And then Gift for Christ chipped in the balance. So thank you all for doing that. Thank you very much. That means a lot to their family. Couldn't get here today. Snowed in Pullman, so you know how it is. Let's get right into it. Gift for Christ was divided up. The deacons make a recommendation to the church. We would like to take, and like Pastor said, it was about $25,000 and some change. So we want to put $5,000 into the maintenance fund. We want to put $5,000 into benevolence. We want to take $5,000 and do like a Game Changers / Salty Fund, which is similar to what we did last year with Game Changers. And then the balance is going to go to the missions committee. Was about $6,000 or $9,000. $9,000. So that's the recommendation to the church. I need a motion and support. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Same sign. All right. The next item of business is a recommendation from the deacons, and that is to take the wireless mics that are no longer needed or can be used in the United States and donate those to the people in Jamaica, so they can have their church service and be able to run there. We cannot use them. They're sitting back there. They cost a lot of money, and we need a place to put them so somebody else can utilize them. We would like to send them down with Pastor in March when he uses his goes down with his family for his mission trip. So I need a motion and support. Motion and support. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's approved. So, Pastor, you have a minute.
Thank you, Ray. All right, so as Ray said, my family, we're going down to Jamaica March 30th through April 7th or April 6th. We are we're going to help a church finish their building. At $2,000, they can get it all the electrical done. And so we already met with the search or the missions committee, and the missions committee has approved all of this money. But we wanted to bring it to you as the body as well. Because we believe that's an important way to do things. So $2,000 will get electric. Right now they go to an outhouse that's dark at night. They have evening service, and I can't even imagine. Half their building doesn't have electricity running to it. This will finish all the electricity and get that building finished for $2,000. So we'd like to take that down with us. We've already purchased our tickets. Travel is expensive there. I don't want to drive there. They drive on the wrong side of the road, and I don't know where I'm going. And it's just expensive to have somebody that you pay to drive you around. That's going to cost us $2,500 while we're there for five of us. So what we're doing is our On Sunday, we're ministering. There are three churches that are coming together for Sunday morning, and then three more churches coming together for Sunday evening. And my girls are all, including my wife, she's one of my girls, they're all doing their, they're doing music, and then I'm preaching. And then we're going to four different schools right now, public schools. We're going in, we're going to share the gospel with them, do a devotion with them, do some music with them, and leave some instruments called boom whackers in their hands that they can actually learn to play, and it'll be good for their classes. And it will be a reminder of when we were there and shared the gospel with them. We're doing a worship seminar to help them. Right now when they sing, somebody gets up and they start trying to sing. They try to find a note. Everybody tries to find a note. And then about halfway through the song, the instruments finally find the note, and then they finish it. And so we went before and worked with the church, Rachel and I did, and we just taught them chords and what the names of them were, what they were playing. Put a face to the, or a name to the face, kind of. Yeah. And we're bringing tuners for their guitars and their basses. And we're bringing, because, I mean, they don't even know they're supposed to be tuned. So we're bringing, and then we're bringing picks as well. We've already bought those. We're taking those down. Then we're doing a concert on Thursday night for the whole entire area. And they're really promoting it. I have no idea how it's going to work. I believe it's going to be an outdoor concert. And then I'm going to preach. My girls are going to sing and everything. And then I'm going to preach. So we're looking forward to that. I'm doing a session with all the pastors on the island that can get there, and I'm teaching them how to do counseling, because most of them have zero education or a couple semesters in a Bible college where they learned what the books of the Bible are and a few things about the Bible. They really don't have any instruction. So I'm going to teach them how to counsel. And then the two areas that the pastor, the head of the Baptist Association down there in Jamaica, he said depression and bereavement counseling. So I will teach them how to walk someone through depression counseling and bereavement. And so we believe that that'll be a big, big help to them. So the total trip, including giving them the $2,000, including our expenses, we're staying in homes, but we need to help the people with food. We have no idea if we're going to have electricity or water. We don't care. We're going to make it through the week. It's going to be wonderful. We'll probably be sleeping on the floor, and that'll be wonderful too. My girls need to experience that. So, no, my wife does not need to experience that, but my girls need to experience that. So, anyway, the total cost for the trip is $9,000. That's getting us there, travel while we're there, paying for the electrical for the church and everything. So, the missions committee had it in their budget. They have approved for that to be done, but now we want to leave it for you, the church, and we're going to leave so you can discuss it and not worry about offending my feelings. If I had them, you could offend them, but I don't have any. So.
Scott Randolph has a question.
How best can we offend this whole thing? I ask that we don't. I ask that we vote on it and vote positively on it now.
Are you you're making a motion and second? Is there any discussion at all that you had a question? Okay.
And
get behind the pastor, support him. And so the report is the missions committee has already looked it over, has the funds available, readily available to write the check to do this. Okay, right. Right. Thank you for your comments. Brenda? So there's a suggestion that we add another $1,000 to the $9,000. Do you want to amend your recommendation, Scott?
Yeah, I suggest they go to oversight this whole thing, make sure that they spend the money that was allocated.
Okay. Is your second still good? Okay. So we're going to put it out there that we're going to give them $10,000. Yes. That what the $2,000 was included in the $10,000. So it was just the $10,000. Any other questions? Clarity?
Just regular man, just hold the gun, just pull the trigger. They can fund themselves a little bit. Let's go. $9,000 for the nine.
I know they already cushioned.
Okay. Well, the musical instruments they bought, the picks they bought, the... Okay, so it has been approved or motion in support for $10,000. Now listen, Brother Joel is suggesting... Well, the recommendation has been he did his recommendation and said he would go to 10,000, and the person that seconded it would say 10. So if you want 10 or 9, if we're going to vote on the 10, so you would say no to the 10, and then we'll bring up another recommendation at the 9. Okay? So the recommendation on the board right now that we're going to vote on is $10,000 for the mission trip with the pastor. Okay? If that doesn't approve, we'll go to the suggestion that Joel had. All in favor of $10,000 for the mission trip to Jamaica for the pastor and his family, raise your hand. Those against, same sign. Okay, so the majority says yes. Okay, thank you very much. Now we have to make a recommendation to dismiss. All in favor, stand. Scott, you can't leave. Yeah, somebody will. All right. I've harassed Austin all afternoon. I love him, and he has been a part of our youth group, been a part of our church. I love his determination and his drive. He's moving up in the world as far as spiritual growth and stuff like that. I want to put him under the gun and put pressure on him and ask him to please lead us in prayer.
Thanks, Rhett.